Hey, everybody. Happy Monday. Hope you're all doing great. We take your questions every Monday that you've emailed us, freedom@charliekirk.com. Why should we care about the Russian-Ukrainian dispute? I dive into that. I also take some questions about what you can do to actually challenge your local school board. And we highlight one young lady who did a phenomenal job of that in the Naperville School District, that and so much more. If you want to get involved with Turning Point USA, if you just can't take it anymore and you see your country falling apart and you want to do something about it, you want to get engaged and get involved, go to tpusa.com. That's tpusa.com. Go right now, chip in if you can, start a high school chapter, start a college chapter today at tpusa.com. Email me directly, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. And if you want to make sure you're subscribed to the Charlie Kirk Show podcast, make sure you hit the plus sign in the upper right-hand corner. Also, if you want to support our show, go to charliekirk.com/support. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Brought to you by the Loan Experts I Trust, Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage at andrewandtodd.com. Let's get to the first question here. Hey, Charlie, I live in Scottsdale, and I'm starting to see a serious increase in homelessness, and no one wants to talk about it. And our leaders don't seem keen to do anything about it. It's nowhere near as bad as it is in New York City or Los Angeles, but what should the conservative response be to homelessness so we can keep our state from turning into one big homeless camp? Sheena from Arizona. Look, I totally agree. I think the toleration of homelessness is an indicator of societal decay. I think a society that puts up with and tolerates open air vagrancy, which, by the way, is not good for the vagrants. It's not good for society. It's not good for communicable diseases. It's not good for anyone. It also brings down the morale. It brings down the spirit of a nation to have to pass by individuals that are obviously dealing with problems. We should have compassion for them. We should help them. But the world is not their home. It is a symbol of public apathy that I don't care and I guess it doesn't impact me. It actually does. Either you live in a society or you live in a colony. You either live in a country or you live in like a massive open air market. You're like, yeah, it's just about making money. As long as I have my chauffeured cars, I don't care how many people I drive by. Actually, I care. I think it sends a signal, especially to young people, that your society is unraveling. The least compassionate thing we could do for these people is to leave them to sleep on the street. Many of these people are dealing with alcohol and drug issues. And the whole fight around homelessness and the people that are kind of, they call themselves homeless advocates, they have done nothing but created more homelessness, lower living conditions for these people. And never do they actually acknowledge that we should try and offer therapy, counseling, or guidance to get these people out of that condition of living on the side of the street. Instead, they say, who are you to judge that that's not the best way? You know, I actually think that a resurrection of the bubonic plague in certain homeless encampments is probably not a good thing for humanity. Not showering for 60 days, not a good thing. I am one to say that's not good. And there's two different issues happening in Arizona with this. There's panhandling, and then there's homelessness. And I got to give the city of Scottsdale credit. Now, Scottsdale is a pretty red area, at least for now, until all the Leninists move in from San Francisco and San Diego and Los Angeles. But there's a series of signs. Have you seen these, Connor, throughout Scottsdale? I think it's really good. And it's super politically incorrect. And I see it and I turn to my wife. I say, I love that. Whoever's in charge wants to keep Scottsdale, Scottsdale. Whatever that is a conservative, meaning we want to conserve what we have. And they're all over Scottsdale. And they say this, you don't have to give money to panhandlers, support the organizations that help them instead. And I love it because you see these people with these signs right next to these You see that with their homemade cardboard signs, I should say, next to the signs saying, give me money, I lost my job, whatever. And standing right next to the sign that says, "Don't you do not have to give them money." And I have to say, there is no way Beverly Hills would ever put up a sign like that, right? So there's still a little bit of spirit left in Scottsdale, I got to tell you. And that gives me hope. Let's do cut 103, please.
If you destroy the nuclear family, which they have, if you decriminalize drugs, which they have, if you hand out tents and needles to addicts, what do you think's going to happen? You're going to get more addicts living in tents. Again, it's not complicated. This is not a vexing public policy question that requires the Brookings Institution to investigate. It's not like fixing Social Security. And the solution is as simple as the problem. Here's the solution. Stop putting up with it. Say no. No, you can't smoke meth in the park. You're not allowed to crap on the sidewalk. Pull up your pants and get the hell out of here.
One of the greatest urban successes that almost never gets mentioned anymore because of the propaganda smear campaign against an honorable man who I think gets tongue twisted at times, and but he's a good person. He is. It's Rudy Giuliani. And Rudy has one of the great urban successes in the last 50 years. And if we had an honest media, he'd go down in the pantheon of great urban leaders. I want you to think about that. There aren't that many good urban leaders. Most are awful, actually. And so if you were to say, who were the best urban leaders of the last 100 years? Rudy Giuliani would be top 10. Absolutely. Rudy Giuliani inherited a New York City that was crime infested, had a low morale, real estate values were stagnant or declining. It was a two-tiered society. And the New York that I grew up with, that you guys remember, that no longer exists because of de Blasio and Adams, the two-step move of the Stalinist Trotskyite decline of a once great city, was thanks to Rudy Giuliani. Now, Bloomberg actually wasn't a terrible mayor. I know that's going to drive people nuts. He was totalitarian in some sense, but he was super pro-police. And he had zero tolerance for crime on the streets in New York. And Bloomberg actually fought against the teacher unions. I would take Bloomberg in a second over Eric Adams and Bill de Blasio. Now, Bloomberg was wrong on a variety of other issues, obviously, including regulating, what was that, 7-Eleven Big Gulps? That was like his big fight. So stupid, silly. And Bloomberg never should get close to being in charge of the presidency, but he's a much better mayor than people, I think, remember, and a lot better than Bill de Blasio and far better than Eric Adams. But before Bloomberg came Giuliani. And Giuliani went on a massive campaign where he instituted the broken window policy, which is that broken windows lead to crime tomorrow. Sexual assaults, rapes, arsons, and murders. And Rudy Giuliani gave a speech and he said this: if you're homeless, we're going to give you compassion, a meal, help, and guidance, but you are not allowed to be on 14th and 5th. It's not going to happen. 14th and 5th is not your home. We're not going to tolerate tent cities. We're not going to tolerate panhandling. In the first couple of months, it was rocky for Rudy Giuliani. It was turbulent. He received a lot of backlash from the left-wing groups. Also, homeless people would escape or they'd leave the homeless shelters and go back, but kind of not dissimilar than this kind of training children to do the right thing and kind of keep manners. Eventually, the homeless people realized they weren't allowed to be on the corner of 14th and 5th. And next thing you know, New York became way safer. Murders went down dramatically. You could say 30,000 black people are alive because of the policies that Rudy Giuliani put in place, thanks to more police on corners, more sophisticated and advanced technological policing measures. And now in New York, you have 9-year-olds being escorted because they don't have their vaccine papers. Rudy Giuliani said as mayor, he utilized a common sense approach and he was able to successfully remove the vast majority of homeless from the streets, providing humane and effective solutions to many of their problems. This should be at the core of a city program for the homeless. The plan that they followed was simple and effective. They didn't need a task force, and it should be utilized by New York City now before a homeless haven kind of reemerges, which is what's happening. Police should approach every person attempting to sleep on the sidewalk and tell them they're not allowed to use the streets as a bedroom and a toilet. If he only needs a place to stay, that could be provided. If he needs a job, the city should help him find one, as the New York City Job Agency did. Or if private work can't be found, he could be required to work for the city for the legal limit of 20 hours a week. Did you hear that? Rudy Giuliani's created a jobs program for homeless people. He said, if you need help, we'll help you. Food, job, shelter, work. Work and job is always the same thing. But understand that the toleration of homelessness is an intentional agenda to try and, I think, demoralize a society and try to make us more accepting of societal degeneracy. Defecating on a sidewalk or doing meth in a playground or revealing yourself to a seven-year-old, it's not acceptable. Everyone is a left-wing Bernie Sanders socialist till some 65-year-old dude wearing no clothes defecates in your front lawn. That turns you into a rabid right-winger really quickly. Did you know that if you shop at Nike, they turn around and give your hard-earned dollars to pro-abortion groups like Planned Parenthood and the Population Council? Did you know that Airbnb gave $500,000 to the Marxist Black Lives Matter organization? Your first vote is at the ballot box, but that isn't enough to defend our traditional Judeo-Christian values. Left-wing corporations are subverting our republic by taking money from conservative customers and giving it to radical organizations that support abortion, gun control, and critical race theory. You have another vote, a second vote at the checkout line. And that is where a massively important organization called Second Vote comes in. The courageous people at Second Vote are exposing corporations for how you spend your money. Second Vote is developing incredible tools and engaging the smartest minds in the country to help inform Americans' purchasing decisions. Their work is arduous, complex, and exhaustive, and it does not happen for free. Please support their work so we can defend our future from the woke Marxist mob. So here's what I want you to do. Go right now to secondvote.com and subscribe. It's just $50 per year, but if you use promo code Charlie, you get 50% off. That's 50% off the information you need to have before you make your next purchase. Join me. Go to secondvote.com and subscribe with promo code Charlie. That's secondvote.com, promo code Charlie. Ireland to lift almost all COVID restrictions. Interesting how all of a sudden Ireland and England get their act together. In America, we're still doing, I don't know what we're doing. Okay, let's get to this question here. Charlie, how do I push back against my local school board? How do I push back against my local school board and all the nonsense that they're doing with masking and quarantining? Well, we have a great clip to play here, and we're going to play it in its entirety. It's actually someone who spoke out and the Naperville School District, and that is in the suburbs of Chicago. Every parent should be showing up to school boards across the country. You should have a zero tolerance policy if your child is required to wear a mask. There is no epidemiological reason at all whatsoever, especially at the phase that we're in right now, given the natural immunity widespread amongst many other reasons, that your child should be forced to wear a mask. And there is zero reason whatsoever to, let me say this differently, there is great concern that mandatory masking will have significant and serious damage to your child and their ability to function and communicate. Let's go to cut 104. It's a little long, but I want you to listen to this. This is a student who showed up at the school board, Naperville School Board, and decided to speak their mind. Play tape.
Thank you for teaching students that our own mental health is much less important than making triple vaccinated adults feel safe. Thank you for teaching me that even the most minute risk is not worth taking. Life is best when you take the path of least resistance, with no chance of failure and definitely no chance of catching a cold. Thank you for not reaching out to the students to ask how we feel about masks, because if you did, the majority of students would say that they hate masks, and then you might second guess your decision to make us wear them. Thank you for allowing me to experience the anxiety associated with never seeing facial expressions. Thank you for teaching us that we should never question authority or think critically, but instead we should follow whatever the people in charge tell us to do. Obedience is best. I realize now that thinking for yourself is overrated and not really necessary when you can just make decisions based on fear. Thank you for pushing your irrational fears and anxieties on me, because I didn't already have enough to worry about. I realize now how easy I had it when I only had to worry about my classes, my grades, SAT, and getting into college. Thank you for teaching me that being a morally superior person only requires that I cover my face for 8 hours a day, and that the most morally superior people wear two masks or even three masks. as you know, states around us, Indiana, Wisconsin, Iowa, Michigan, and Minnesota, which have 2.5 times more students than Illinois, don't force kids to masks. I'm with you, though. These states are out of control, recklessly putting kids at risk of misery and death every day. Masks work, even if these states have the same outcomes as Illinois. Speaking of data, thank you for staying silent about masking, despite the fact that COVID has a very high survival rate in kids my age. Who needs data anyway, though? We all know that it will never be safe to see anyone's face ever again.
I mean, give that girl a medal. My goodness. I got to give her credit. The sarcasm is so incredibly effective. When I speak at school boards, a little more direct, but she's right. What we're teaching our kids, path of least resistance, never take risks. Don't look at people's faces. Imagine you're a Naperville school board member and they thought no one would cover this. I'm a little afraid about one thing, though. I'm afraid that this poor young girl is going to get raided by the FBI and being called a domestic terrorist because she disagrees. And you know what? She makes a great point. In Wisconsin and Minnesota and Iowa, they do not require masks on their kids. And yet Illinois has the same transmission. Who needs data, right? But I don't know what this girl's name is. I found this clip online. A friend of mine from Chicago sent it to me. We need to make this clip go viral. We're going to post that on all of our social media, charliekirk.com. And if you're a student that is living under these Leninist, Maoist policies, you should show up to your school board meeting. It's Naperville student Addison George who did this. And Naperville it was a once great community, but what's the best way I could equate Naperville? Naperville is like the most pompous parts of Orange County. That's kind of the best comparison. Very high upper middle class, well-funded schools, and of course, risk-averse parents that never want their kids to leave the bubble wrap. Meanwhile, they're the most suicidal, sick, medicated generation in American history. God bless that young girl for doing what her parents' generation has refused to do. Be courageous. As you know, most of corporate America is going woke, and that includes companies who are investing your hard-earned retirement money. Well, guess what? I have finally found a financial planning and investment firm that supports our values. Pax Financial Group is headquartered in San Antonio, Texas. And here's the great news. Now you don't have to live in Texas to work with them because San Antonio is a military city. They have clients worldwide. I met this guy. He's super great. I think you should check it out. The thing that I like about Pax Financial Group is that they have biblical responsible investments. These investments screen out companies that promote abortion, pornography, alcohol, drugs, gambling, and are anti-family or anti-Christian. Look, if you have $150,000 or more in your IRA, 401ks, or other investments and want to speak with my friends at PAX, visit PAXFinancialGroup.com. That's PAXFinancialGroup.com. Right now, they want to offer you a free ebook to learn about biblical responsible investing. Grab this ebook right now at PAXFinancialGroup.com and let's start investing in companies that makes everybody's liberty a priority. So here's a provocative statement. What is happening to children is what parents allow to happen to children. And I know we get a lot of parents that email us, freedom@charliekirk.com, and they say, my kid is being segregated, is being discriminated against. I get it. Then do something about it. Take the kid out. Challenge the principal. File a lawsuit. I'm going to be very honest with everyone listening right now. I am running out of patience for parents that allow their children's lives to be ruined by the cult of safetyism. And we have so many great listeners that are pushing back and they are doing something about it. So let me give you an example. Do we have that cut that I just sent you? So this is what's happening at schools all across the country. One of our board members at Turning Point USA, this just happened to his son the other day because they don't want their children to be injected with an experimental therapeutic with questionable outcomes in one regard, and an extraordinary body of evidence on the vaccine adverse event reporting system that would lay concern to any rational person. So in this video, you have 5 young girls. That's what I found to be so interesting. Where are the men? Oh, they become women. That's why. All the girls are acting like strong, courageous people. Good for them. They're refusing to get the vaccine. Maybe they see the evidence from National Public Radio that it can alter your menstrual cycle. Maybe they see the spikes in myocarditis and pericarditis. They refuse to get the vaccine. They're teenagers. They're healthy. Statistically, it's a greater risk for them to ride in a car, and I bet they do that plenty. And they are pushing back against this whole thing. How does the school treat them? The school treats them, I mean, comparing them to a leper would be one example. No, you know, and you know what they treat them? They treat them as if there was an anthrax attack. This is happening in America at a charter school. Play tape.
Hello, my name is Ellen Ahum, and I'm a student at New West Charter School, and I'm here with 5 other girls. 4 of them are freshmen, 1 is a junior, I'm a sophomore, and we're being threatened to be suspended because we don't have the COVID-19 vaccine, and we're being refused of the right to attend school.
We feel segregated and discriminated.
And we're being closed off by this caution tape-like thing. We're being segregated from the rest of the school. Yeah.
That's in Los Angeles. And obviously parents are just putting up with it. The school board's putting up with it. I'm going to write an essay. I might get it published at the Babylon Bee. So there's this great essay called The Petition of the Candlestick Makers. Have you ever heard me talk about this before, Connor? No? Connor and I joke around that I have this voluminous library of seemingly useless knowledge until it becomes useful. So look up when that was written. I think it was written up in 1860s, 1870s, the Petition of Candlestick Makers. Frederick Bastiat, who wrote, I think his book he wrote The Law. He also wrote a book called On Liberty. But the Petition of the Candlestick Makers, I think he wrote it or he publicized it, is a really amazing piece of satire. One of the most effective ever written. So the Petition of the Candlestick Makers is a argument that windows destroy jobs. It's an argument that the fact that we allow all this natural sunlight to come in, there might be so much damage to society that we have to do something about it. And so it's the Petition of the Candlestick Makers, meaning that if you allow all this sunlight to come into homes, you're going to destroy the candlestick making industry. Effectively, that the jobs, the design, the distribution of making candles is going to be disenfranchised by sunlight. So you hear that, it's obviously insane. And you're like, okay, well, how about this? The petition of parents to outlaw driving. Safety is the most important value. We must keep our children safe. It's a dangerous world. Do you know over 50,000 people die on the road every single year? And we're going to trust the science. We're going to trust the science that fast cars that are heavy could potentially kill somebody. We are going to trust the science that keeping our children in one place is actually a safer way for them to live. Now, you might be saying, oh, Charlie, that's a ridiculous argument. That's exactly what we're tolerating right now in our country. It's insane. It's evil. It's immoral. Meanwhile, United Kingdom and Ireland, they're completely opening up everything, and we're keeping girls detained outside of schools, and then we have 9-year-olds being escorted by police officers in New York City because they don't have their vaccine cards. You want to see societal decay? Societal decay is the meth addict who's raping people gets told that the world is his oyster. He could do whatever he wants. Or the person that shoots David Dorn is a racial justice protester. Or you burn a Wendy's, you get special points in the memory of St. George Floyd. But if you are a high schooler in Los Angeles who's a girl and a black girl alongside of her who don't get vaccinated, you get fenced off as if Chernobyl has just happened. I have yet to receive a good answer, and I have opened it up to my audience, and I love hearing from you guys, and I think you guys get a lot of things that sometimes I'm trying to process, a lot of wisdom in our audience. But I am struggling to understand how on earth the generation of leaders are able to tolerate this or think this is somewhat even remotely acceptable. No one has explained that to me. And it's not like, okay, this has been like a week and you fix it. No, this is 2 years. Okay, let's get to the next question here. And yeah, Connor sent a note in here. You're exactly right. It's public humiliation and shaming. So we're going to bring you outside fenced off as if it's a crime scene. They literally have like police tape, police line, do not cross around. Okay, let's get to the next question here. Hey, Charlie, can you please cut through the confusion for something on me? I keep hearing people talk about Russia and Biden and Putin and Ukraine, but what the heck is going on over there? And why should I care? Why is our media so obsessed with this story? So our vice president, Cammie, she went out on, I think it was NBC or ABC, I can't, one of the Operation Mockingbird networks. And she said, look, let's be very clear. And she does this thing where she kind of bounces. Let me be very clear that the Biden administration, we take situational and sovereignty very seriously. Yeah, okay. So let me be clear. The borders of Ukraine, major issue. Press conference, sanctions, borders of Ukraine, crisis. Border of Arizona, don't bother me. Look, I think that some Republicans are getting this wrong, including some people that we highlight and we platform on the show, and I think they're amazing. I mean, every compliment I give to some of the guests on the show, I mean, they do a great job. But I think that Republicans are misreading this. War is a big deal. And if you're going to rattle the saber, you better be willing to see it through and use it. War is exhaustive. It is expensive. It is draining. And for a civilization that we're in right now that is already experiencing multiple fronts of societal decay, you must triage. You must say, this matters more than that. Now, Ukraine is an unbelievably corrupt country. And let me be very clear. I don't like Putin. I don't like Russia. I don't like the soft authoritarianism. I'm not a fan. Russia and Ukraine are going to fight over this dividing line for quite some time. It's just going to happen. The question of why we care, I have not heard a single answer as to why this is a concern to the United States. Now, let me be very clear. If we had a balanced budget, no inflation, full employment, suicides at record lows, drug overdoses at record lows instead of record highs, children that could read at high levels, urban crime on the decline, a secure southern border, no illegal immigration, family formation increasing, the birth rate increasing, national morale increasing, church attendance going up, then I would be open to the argument that maybe we should be able to rattle the saber and have some fun policing Ukraine and Russia. Even then, I would probably reject it because I think that would be a mistake of actually ruining success. And some people say that they don't want Russia to become a creeping regional superpower. Well, they already are. And also, this is what's so incredibly unwise about the people in charge. Who's our enemy? Who's the threat? The threat is your grandkids speaking Mandarin. Now, that's a way of saying the threat is China's trying to take over the world. That's code for that. That China is increasingly moving towards the direction of international totalitarianism. So we're against China. That's not going to change, even though our elites love to cheat money from China. So there is, in some sense, a question. The question is, where does Russia fall into all of this? And so when you make decisions and you're not some sort of weird, creepy academic that's never actually had your heart rate go above 135 in a pressure-filled situation, and you get super intimidated when someone's not wearing a mask at a grocery store, like, sit this one out, pal, okay? I don't think you really know what the hell you're talking about. See these guys going on TV. We can't allow Putin to go across this. Like, yeah, okay, I get it. You get really upset. The cucumbers are spoiled at Whole Foods. Like, enough war games of sending our treasure and our blood and our loved ones to some sort of foreign border conflict while we're getting invaded. But the question is, if you actually have a hierarchy of needs and wants, The thing in foreign policy, if we had a wise ruling class, would be, oh, how do we build a coalition to restrict the rise of China? That's what a wise ruling class would do. Instead, we say, hey, here's an idea. Let's make China unaccounted for spreading the virus around the world, and then really tick off the one other superpower that could actually help us against China. So what's happening? Russia and China are closer than ever. And Tucker said it best. When we lose the dollar as the world reserve currency, it's this garbage that will be traced back to it. Not a fan of Russia. I'm a fan of America. This is insane. What are both parties, by the way, they're so wrong on this. I want to take a moment and thank Patriot Mobile, my new cell phone provider, for their support. Whether it's on this show, other conservative hosts, Turning Point USA, or others, they get it. Look, here's how Patriot Mobile works. Instead of you using some cell company that runs all these woke TV advertisements that make you cringe during a football game, Patriot Mobile has the same towers, but you are working with a company where any profits they make get given back to pro-life groups, Turning Point USA. You are partnering with Patriots. I know Glenn. He runs Patriot Mobile. Does a great job. They offer broad nationwide coverage. In fact, they use the same towers as the major carriers. They get great nationwide coverage, plus the peace of mind that your money isn't supporting the left. Stop giving money to people who hate you. So look, when you pay your cell phone bill, if you are paying one of the big guys, you might as well, on your credit card statement, it might as well say BLM. You are a donor to BLM if you give money to the major cell phone companies. Patriot Mobile has plans to fit any budget, and their 100% U.S.-based customer support team provides exceptional customer support. More importantly, Patriot Mobile shares your values and supports organizations fighting for religious freedom, constitutional rights, sanctity of life, and our veteran and first responder heroes. So go right now to patriotmobile.com/Charlie or call 972-PATRIOT. Get a free activation with the offer code CHARLIE. Veterans and first responders save even more, so make the switch today. Support a company that loves America, loves you, and shares your values. It's patriotmobile.com/Charlie, patriotmobile.com/Charlie, or call 972-PATRIOT. Look, Patriot Mobile is what you need right now. Stop paying money via your cell phone companies to the left-wing arsonists destroying our country. If you wouldn't give money to Planned Parenthood, if you wouldn't give money to the transgender lobby, if you wouldn't give money to the Alphabet Mafia, if you wouldn't give money to BLM, then why would you do it via your cell phone company? You might say, well, Charlie, I don't know a competitor. Well, now you know one. It's called Patriot Mobile. It's super simple. PatriotMobile.com/Charlie. I have done this. Our entire team is moving towards Patriot Mobile. Producer Andrew is signaling his phone right now. He's on Patriot Mobile, and now he knows that his cell phone bill every single month supports the good guys, not the wokies. PatriotMobile.com/Charlie. Someone says, Charlie, how do I stop supporting all of these woke companies? Well, that's a perfect segue to one of our partners for this hour, the cell phone company that we have partnered with, Patriot Mobile. We're doing a lot of different things with, and I could tell you they do such a great job. So when you guys use Patriot Mobile, it allows you to make a decision of where the profits and where the proceeds of your cell phone bill go to. So you have a decision. You can either use one of those woke cell phone companies that fund BLM, fund transgender nonsense, Alphabet Mafia stuff, or you can use Patriot Mobile, where every dollar that you send to Patriot Mobile will help fund groups like Turning Point USA, will go to proceeds that you actually care about. And their service is amazing, and you save money on it. Patriot Mobile has plans to fit any budget, and their 100% U.S.-based customer support team provides exceptional customer support. They offer broad nationwide coverage because they use the same towers as the major carriers. So you get the same great service plus the peace of mind that your money is not supporting the left. Go to patriotmobile.com/Charlie. That's patriotmobile.com/Charlie. Call 972-PATRIOT. Get a free activation code with the offer code CHARLIE. That's patriotmobile.com/Charlie. Our whole team is shifting over to Patriot Mobile. We want you guys to do the same. So you just go to patriotmobile.com/Charlie. Plans to fit any budget. You just stop using those woke cell phone carriers. You go here overnight, and you have just done your part to divest from the regime of tyranny. Do not give the bad guys money. Do your part. Switch to patriotmobile.com/Charlie or call 972-PATRIOT. Okay, let's get to another question here. this. Okay, Charlie, what's going on with the Great Reset and the World Economic Forum? So we have an episode that will be posted soon with Glenn Beck, and we're talking about his new book on the Great Reset. We're about to have that conversation. It will be aired probably in the next couple of days. So I want you guys to make sure you check that out. But I want to play this tape here. It's really interesting. It's from the World Economic Forum's Great Narrative Conference. And they say the good news is the elites across the world trust each other more. The bad news is the majority of people trust the elites less. So basically they're saying that the elite-to-elite bonds are actually really strong, but the elite-to-people bonds are really weak. I'll be honest. I'm shocked at their self-awareness. Play cut 91.
At Davos a few years ago, you know, the Edelman survey showed us that the good news is the elite across the world trust each other more and more. So we can come together and design and do beautiful things together. The bad news is that in every single country they were polling, the majority of people trusted that elite less.
I think that tape is so important. If I were to do a whole show on the Great Reset, I would make that clip the kind of exhibit A of evidence. First of all, if you don't get chills down your spine and want to like run for the hill to go buy a bunch of like prepared food and firearms and ammunition when she starts waving her hands and she says, so we could do beautiful things. Like, yeah, it makes me want to go buy property in Coeur d'Alene, actually, when you say stuff like that. We could go do wonderful, beautiful things. But there's this great tension, and I find this to be so important. We don't have time to build this out because there's a lot there in that 30 seconds to piece out. There's a ton, and you might say, ah, Charlie, what do you mean? Okay, first of all, the elites are coming together, so the elites are more connected, kind of like Spectre in a James Bond film. Literally, this is Spectre, okay? You watch that on your own. The second part is that in every country, people don't trust their elites. Well, what does that tell you? That means that the citizen movement that we're seeing in America is global. We are seeing the higher frequency win. We are seeing the elevated conversation start to accomplish victory. And the elites are now confused and they say, oh, well, we need to be in charge so we could do beautiful. And you see that word that she used? Design? Ooh. I don't want you designing anything. Because you know why? You don't believe the natural law. You don't believe in transcendental reality or transcendent reality, I should say. There's something happening worldwide, everybody. And the rulers and the elites, they're starting to notice it. Now, people don't trust them. There's something big going to happen. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. If you want to get involved with Turning Point USA, you can do so at tpusa.com. And if you want to email us your thoughts, as always, you can do so, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thank you so much for listening, everybody. God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.